We think we know God, guys, but do we honor Him? It's the first petition Jesus teaches us in the Our Father, empowerment to bring honor to His Father. Why must we keep the name of the Lord holy? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues many may think about but seldom talk about. As we continue to break down the Our Father this week, our topic is Hallowed Be Thy Name, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we continue to focus on the Lord's Prayer on Crossing the Goal, this time, Hallowed Be Thy Name, honoring the name of God. Let's meet the Crossing the Goal team, Peter Herbeck with Renewal Ministries, from Focus, Curtis Martin, and our coach, the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, a former New Orleans Saint, and the Bears coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed Be Thy Name, and in our society, the name of the Lord is thrown about like it's trash sometimes, a bag of chips. That's not bringing honor to His name, Curtis.
You're right, and as you mentioned in the introduction, we need to recognize this is the first petition in the central prayer that Jesus gave us, and we need to break open what does it mean to hallow His name. But I think we can begin by saying what it doesn't mean. It certainly doesn't mean to take His name in vain, which is actually a violation of one of the Ten Commandments. We have to recognize that we're not only to avoid taking His name in vain, but we're actually supposed to do something. That's the question. What does it mean to hallow His name?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I saw in kind of putting this little booklet together about living the Lord's Prayer, I thought again about this whole hallowing the name and why Jesus had it there first. And it said Jesus Himself was zealous for the honor of His Father's name. And I think what He's giving us, He's bringing us into His own disposition, His own priorities, His own concern that the whole human race, our hearts get turned to the Father properly, and it begins with honoring God as being holy, different than us. He's not our buddy. He's the Lord of heaven and earth.
You know, you said something about honoring Him properly. Yeah. We give Him no honor. We're not in awe of God anymore. That's the problem. We don't even recognize God. We're on an even plane with God, we try to say.
How silly is that?
It's so silly. Yeah. In the equation, if you look and go back in through history and all the way up to the present time, when societies take Jesus out of the equation and God out of the equation, it don't work. And we're stumbling around right now as a nation because what? We're taking the Lord's out of our nation.
I think we got to be honest with ourselves. There are times when we're put on the spot and we may even have a sense that we're embarrassed. Are you a Christian? Are you a Catholic?
Exactly.
And you have the sense of, something is wrong. I love to think when Jesus turned to His Father in prayer and said, Father, how did He use the name Father? Mm-hmm. And that's what He's looking for. He wants to share His Father with us, but He also, when we receive His Father, He wants to share the awe of the Father. Yeah.
I mean, He's so radical about it. Jesus died for the honor of the Father in some way, you could say. I mean, He died for our sins. He died, but how He honored the Father in His dying is He gave to the Father what belongs to the Father. Obedience, trust, surrender, all of that.
Even to the point of death.
What's He say in Scripture about if you don't honor My name?
Yeah, if you deny Me, I'll deny you.
I think about that. Makes my hair stand. I swear.
And you don't have a lot to stand, but it's standing.
I know, especially on the back. To make my hair stand up on the back, it's got to be really something powerful.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. But you know what I mean? That is scary. Now.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you got to see that it's kind of significant that Jesus put this petition, Hallowed Be Thy Name, at the top of the list in the Lord's Prayer. So guys, to honor the name of the Lord, we need a game plan. Peter and Curtis have it for us. Next, you're on Crossing the Goal.
Hallowed be Thy name, praised be Thy name. And that's the one part of the prayer that I just really connect with. Praised be the name of our Lord Jesus.
Hallowed be Thy name, you know, every word of it is meaningful. There's just not one thing, you know, that stands out, but just it's the whole.
Peter, we're talking about hallowing the name of the Lord. And as we said before, we want to start from the very beginning. The commandments give us a launching point. Jesus is going to point us in a direction. But let's look at the commandment for a moment, because there's an important part I think we overlook if we don't go back and take the text seriously. In Exodus chapter 20, we read the Ten Commandments, and it says this: "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Why is that extra phrase in there? I really believe it's there because we're going to go through periods of time in history where we're just going to think it's not that big of a deal. I'm sure I can take the name of the Lord in vain, right, and it won't be a big problem. But he reminds us, no, you won't go unpunished. So if we have to avoid taking the name of the Lord in vain, how do we go about hallowing his name?
You know, it's interesting that he put it that, the scripture puts it that way. There's a warning there because it's supposed to get our attention, the warning. And why do we hallow his name? Because first, he commands it. Second, because God is holy. Because God is different than us, because God is great, because God is awesome. But we're creatures. He's the creator. And it makes sense for us. It's healthy for us. It's right for us. We're in right order. We can live well if we understand the difference between God and us. And one of the problems is we always shrink God to our level and we make God in our own image, which is the ultimate problem, right? And Jesus, in this hallowing the name, Jesus himself had great zeal for the holiness of the Father. Remember in the synagogue or the temple the day he went there and all the money changers were buying and selling, they were doing something profane, something inappropriate in the holy place. And what did Jesus do? Blow it off, say no big deal. The fire in Jesus' heart, his blood started to boil. He said, this is wrong. This is my Father's house. You're not going to dishonor my Father. Now get out of here. And he grabbed the ropes and the chains. He literally drove him out of the Father's house.
We're told zeal for his Father's house consumed
him.
Yeah,
and that's from the Psalm. You know, zeal for his Father's house consumed, and the Psalm says, because of the wicked who forsake his law. That's the heart of Jesus.
No, we have to be able to see that when we live as followers of Jesus Christ, with Christ in us, we actually take on the name, this is where it came from, to be a Christian. And so it's actually us radiating the love, the mercy, and the truth of God in our lives out to the rest of the world, that we hallow his name in our actions and in our words. We've got to live transformed lives, or have we really been changed at all?
Yeah, and we're struggling in our culture in so many ways, Curtis, for wisdom. You know, there seems to be so little wisdom. The world feels very chaotic right now, very disordered. Problems people can't solve. What does the proverb tell us?
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What we're talking about in hallowing the name of the Lord is fearing, proper fear of the Lord. Not filial, I mean, not slavish fear of an angry God in heaven, but an appropriate fear of a creature to the creator. The respect, the awe, the overwhelming recognition. That's where wisdom begins.
No, and we've got to recognize that in a certain sense, many of our souls, it's kind of like a garden that's gotten out of control. And we need to do two things. We need to pull up by the roots the weeds of bad habit, the taking of the name of the Lord in vain. And we have to recognize, I mean, there was a systematic effort on public television, network television, to start to use the term, oh my God, as an exclamation.
And then the breakdown.
And it breaks it down. All of a sudden you find it habituated. So we have to pull these bad habits out by the roots. But any good gardener knows we also have to then plant what we want to grow, because if you don't have anything planted, the weeds will grow up again. So we have to rip up the weeds of bad habits and plant the hallowing of God's name in the way we talk about it. In our home, we tell our kids, you're welcome to use the Lord's name when you're talking to him or you're talking about him. That's how you use the Lord's name in a sacred manner.
Jesus died to give us his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and to give us the disposition and capacity of heart to be able to give to God what belongs to him, to honor him. Because he said, I'm going to give you a new heart. Because we need a new heart, because our hearts aren't ordered to the Father in the way they ought to be. And Jesus said, I'm going to help you do that. I'm going to give you my own spirit. And if you follow me, if you yield to my Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the heart of a son, properly ordered to him, the very heart that Jesus had for the Father.
And we have to have, as sons, as men in particular, we have to have a certain zeal, as you mentioned before. I mean, in a very real way, you can say you're either on his way or you're in his way. Yeah. That we have to actually recognize that the taking of the name of the Lord in vain breaks down the fabric of our society, and we as men have to stand up. And just, it might be something like you're at a restaurant or something like that. Somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain, say, excuse me, I'm a Christian, appreciate you wouldn't use that language in front of my kids. Whatever it is, just to remind people, because it's not as though they're conscious of attacking God most of the time. They're falling into bad habits that unravel a sense of the reality of the magnitude and power and awesomeness of God.
If you dishonor God, you will dishonor the things of God. Look what's happening in the whole area of human sexuality and marriage. Look how marriage is being dishonored today. It starts with dishonoring God. If you can dishonor the Creator and the one who made it all, you're gonna dishonor what He created.
Well, you wrote a pamphlet that starts on Romans 1 and looks at the unraveling of what it means when we suppress the reality and the knowledge of God, which is what we have to do, because reality screams out, there is a Creator, He's amazing, He's marvelous. Our own experience as Christians is, you know, Jesus has spoken to our lives. If we suppress that knowledge and act as if there is no change, our lives begin to be unraveled.
That's the insanity of the condition that we're in. That's the sort of the definition of the broken condition that we're in. Paul says, in our wickedness, we suppress the truth. And the truth is, we suppress the truth about God. And he said that suppressing of the ground of all truth leads us into disordered thinking, a darkened mind.
The way out of that is to hallow his name. Brian.
All right, thanks, Curtis and Peter. Equipped with that game plan, Coach, are you ready to lead us into the red zone?
Well, there'll be a lot of howling going on down there.
That's hallow, Coach.
I know.
As in holy. We're in the red zone next on Crossing the Goal. Breaking down the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, here in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. When you guys referred to that expression, oh my God, that's thrown around like it's nothing. And then there's GD that we've heard all of our lives. We just don't put the name of the Lord where it ought to be.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up hearing it all the time. I mean, the neighborhood, you know, guys saying it, doing it, you know, and probably there's maybe guys sitting out there saying, what? I mean, what's the big deal, really? I mean, nobody means any real harm to God, and it's just a habit. It's not that big of a deal, right?
And I think the issue here is that we may not see that it's a big deal, but God gave us 10 commandments, and this is one of them. And if you were to say, well, I found the perfect girl, and she's great. She follows 9 of the 10 commandments. She's got a problem with that adultery thing, but other than that, she'd be a great wife. You'd say, well, no, that's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize we're not supposed to give our lead here. We're supposed to follow God's lead. If He said this is important to Him, then we need to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Well, we do say these other things, and so I don't mean anything by it. Well, then don't say it. But on the other side of the coin is, how much do we say His name the proper way? We're always using it in vain. Now, I'll give you an example. For about the last year and a half, when I go into a store or somewhere, or waited on to get a coffee or whatever, I said, God bless you.
Yeah.
They're like shocked. They don't know what to say.
I didn't sneeze.
Yeah, right. Right. I didn't say, why did he say that? And then secondly, they aren't allowed to say it because in law now the companies are all nervous, or they don't care one way or the other. It's like this whole idea we even talked about, we don't even give it a thought in the right way. Now we'll do that GD or whatever, all that stuff. We're great at that. Oh, what do we make? But we don't do the proper honoring of the name.
And what Jesus is doing in the prayer, you guys, is he's helping us develop the habit of placing ourselves under his will, under his purpose for us, and it's shaping us to be like him. Yeah. Basically, that's what's going on. He's saying, look, I know where your heart's at. I know what comes out of your mouth. You know, what you're going to need is this is going to need to be a priority for you, because this is really big. So I'm going to put it right at the beginning of the prayer, and I want you to pray for this every day. And eventually you're going to get a heart that wants it, that desires it. Then you're going to start seeing why it's important. Then you're going to start making it your own. And before you know it, you're going to start blessing people. Look how you've changed. I mean, from remember the football days until now, I mean, the way you relate to it, because God's changed you.
Think of people, just sports, what you said, how I was before in sports. Think of how we hallow sports athletes.
Right.
How do we hallow movie stars?
Sure.
Politicians, all these other people, and then to the God who made us, that gave us the very breath that we have, we can't give him the time of day.
Yeah.
And you tell me that makes sense.
Yeah. We're impressed with ants. I mean, we're like ants. He's the creator God. We're so small. Honestly, we're so small in comparison to God. And we're overwhelmed by that other ant that we see. You know, it might be a little bit bigger, but we don't notice God and his magnitude and his greatness. It's nuts. It just tells you
how we've got
how
to
crazy
get serious.
We are.
I mean, Jesus is saying in the prayer, right, you need to do this. You need to, on the inside, you need to hallow my Father's name. This needs to be a big deal to you. And then I really believe it's also a call to us men in particular to hallow his name in the culture, because you can be at a restaurant or out in public somewhere and somebody takes the name of the Lord in vain. It's very appropriate to say, excuse me, I appreciate if you wouldn't use that language, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And just either wake people up because they're saying it and don't realize what they're saying it, or slow people down if they're actually opposing God, because we're living in a culture that is becoming more and more hostile to Jesus Christ and his church.
Not only that, think about this. When someone says something wrong about a person in society now, they're all offended right off the bat. Well, you used my name. You said something bad
about me.
You disrespected me.
Yeah.
You don't have any respect for me. Well, how much respect do we have for the Lord? We got all this respect, which you should have. But if you have respect for the Lord, you're going to have respect for the other person.
Yeah.
And you can take that too far. You gave an example earlier, Peter. We were talking about one of the artists.
Van Gogh's
son.
Yeah.
I think we can go too far. You might want to share that story as an example of how too far. Then we can go back and say, oh, what's the right way?
Well, Van Gogh, I think it was Van Gogh's grandnephew or something like that, had said something in public about the name of Allah. And a Muslim man attacked him on the street in broad daylight and put a knife through his heart and put a note there saying, essentially, don't dishonor Allah. Now, there is such a thing as unenlightened zeal and inappropriate, which what he exercised, but there's also something called enlightened zeal, which Jesus exercised. And I think we're very wimpy. Men in the church today are very wimpy. The Lord's name is mocked, it's dishonored, it's thrown in the dirt, and the things of God, the church, the priesthood, all these things, and very few men stand up to defend the honor of God and the things of God. And that's got to stop. We'll continue to get stepped on until we do it.
We need to see what that Muslim man saw, but not respond the way he did. We're not to kill for Christ, but we're to live for him, and to be able to see that, you know, if God's name as Yahweh or as Allah were ever taken the way that our Lord's name is used in movies, I mean, there would be an uproar, but we sit by passive. It's not a big deal. What do you mean it's not a big deal?
I mean, look, Jesus didn't defend himself when he went to the cross, right? He was passive in the right kind of sense, but his blood boiled when his Father's name was dishonored in the temple, you know, when the things of God were dishonored. And he took action. He didn't just sit on his duff. He took action because he wanted to teach, both honor the name of God, but also teach his disciples, you do not dishonor my Father or the things of my Father.
Right. And look at us. We've been touched. We believe the Lord. We believe in his name. Us guys, there's a lot of people that do. But how many people are standing up? When are we going to stand up? If it's not us, then who? If it's not time to stand up, when is the time to stand up?
Right.
Our church is under attack. Our God is under attack. This whole thing, the Christians are being attacked right now. So, well, are we going to be men to stand up if we believe it? Now, if you don't believe it, don't stand up.
Right.
You mean to tell me that you don't believe the God? If you look around, if you see the birth of or just our grandson, you don't believe in God? You don't have any honor? You don't have any awe of him?
And let's get serious. I mean, seriously, how much worse does it have to get before you're going to do something?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, wake up or wimp out. That's really the choices you got. Because there will be a time, sometime in the future, you can't sit back and say, you know, the guys that really make me proud of men are the guys who sat by and did nothing when Hitler came into power. No, those are embarrassing people. We rightly praise folks like Martin Luther King who did the right thing when bad things were happening. Well, don't just praise him. Imitate. Yeah. Go out and do the right thing when bad things are happening. That's what men should do.
One of the simple ways you can do it, too, is, when people are writing books that are dishonoring God, like God is not great or the God delusion, if you have a gift for something like that, stand up and use the gift and write a book that tells the truth. Tell the truth. If you're in an office conversation and somebody's mocking God and mocking the church and running the priesthood into the ground, don't just run off like a mouse in a corner. Stand up and say, let me tell you the truth about it. I mean, I think you're overboard what you're saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And think about this. Who's behind all this?
The devil.
The evil one.
The devil.
Watch this. Perfect thing I heard a lot of times in the Catholic, growing up as a Catholic. Two things you don't ever talk about. Your faith in politics. Those are things we should be talking about and talking about the Lord. Why wouldn't we talk? We talk about sports. Before the show started, what did we talk about here for the crew and everyone? Hey, the
baseball,
sports,
football,
baseball,
everything,
football,
yeah.
Which is good. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But when's the Lord come in? When do we find time to talk about the Lord in our own life and be the example so we can be the example to others?
And when we hallow his name in our words and our actions, we're going to talk about him and we're going to behave like him.
Right.
So when we speak, we're going to speak with honor towards the Father. And when we behave, we're not going to stand by idly when other people do dishonor him.
Right. I mean, let me tell you something that could sound a little radical, a little crazy. You know how the situation in marriage is going today? You know how it's being dishonored and human sexuality is kind of going off the charts. Why is that happening? Part of the reason it's happening is because we dishonor the name of God. If you dishonor God's name, you dishonor God. You dishonor God, you're going to end up dishonoring the things of God. If you don't respect God, you're not going to respect the things of God. And you're back to Romans 1, Paul saying, in their wickedness, they consciously suppress the truth about God. They don't want to acknowledge him as God, and they don't want to give him thanks, Paul said.
And
just
God
like
gives
that.
Them over to their lusts.
Right, exactly.
And he created us.
Yeah.
In his image and likeness.
So if we don't suppress the truth, you're going to lose that.
Right.
How do you get it back?
Right.
You hallow his name.
We don't even know the meaning of human sexuality, even though it's built into our genes. We don't even grasp gender anymore, the truth about how we're made, because we deny the ground of all truth.
Right.
But we'd rather have it our way. We'd rather have sick chaos and insanity than have it God's way. That's the condition of the human heart.
And certainly honoring God's name, as you mentioned earlier, is obedience to his word.
Right, absolutely.
Doing what he tells us.
Absolutely.
You guys, you want a chance to get the last word on Hallowed Be Thy Name?
Yeah. Love it.
You're going to get it. We're going to push into the end zone next, right here on Crossing the Goal. We have crossed the goal that takes us into the end zone as we continue to look at the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed Be Thy Name. Let's get the last word now, starting with Peter Herbeck.
Thanks, Brian. Brothers, as we were sitting in the red zone, my heart was burning with fire. I feel like I was getting a little taste and a feel for Jesus' zeal for the honor of his Father. The whole church is waiting for men of God to stand up and to honor the Father, to honor God and the things of God. I want to challenge you this week, brothers, examine your own heart and look for the opportunity this week when you can stand up to defend and honor the name of the Lord in love and in truth.
Peter, I want to build on that. I want to invite you, along with myself, to just plant the flag right now and say, today and for the rest of my life, I will not dishonor the name of the Lord. If you've allowed the habit of the name of the Lord to be used in vain in your home, pull it out. Rip that habit out and replace it. How do we do that? Well, there's a passage in the Catechism, 2666. If you don't know where it is, ask your wife. She knows where the Catechism is. And read that. It talks about the name of Jesus as the most powerful name. And the name of Jesus will lead you into a deeper relationship with the Father. The other thing is to pray the Our Father. And we need to recognize this. And finally, last but not least, let's say you're watching television and somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain. Just get up and in an act of reparation, turn it off or at least change the channel and say, not in my house.
Men, what I want to do now is show you something here. We're talking about the Lord's name in vain and how we hallow the name. I want you to take during this week a sheet of paper, put a plus on one side, a minus on the other side. And I want you to reflect on how many blessings God has given to you in your life, like your own life, your family, or whatever. You know what they are. And on the other side, I want you to think about how many times you've hurt him or you have not stood up for the Lord. You'll be the judge. You'll find out where you stand when it comes to the Lord if you do that.
Thanks, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck. I'm Brian Patrick. Remember, men, God has blessed us. Let's bless him by honoring his name. Thy kingdom come, next time on Crossing the Goal.